Thank you, Jason and Lydia, for leading us in that. And thank you for the People Get Ready song. I forgot during announcements to announce that important thing that we're planning this week, the Ash Wednesday service. It's Wednesday, which is an important holiday, Ash Wednesday. There's something else that happens that day too, but everybody else will be at the restaurants that night, so you go some other night and come to the Ash Wednesday service. So, our last reading from little letters that have a big message. 2 Peter 3, the entire chapter. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. By the way, this was probably maybe a third letter. There were perhaps three letters that Peter sent. Anyway, I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by those waters, also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare, since everything will be destroyed in this way. What kind of people ought you be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with this promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you've been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. When Emily was little, as soon as we knew that a trip was in the offing, she was off to pack, even if it was months away. But she had to be ready. She had her own little suitcase on wheels, and I was thinking that I should try to find the picture of her walking down the jetway back in the days when you could walk up to the jetway and actually take pictures without getting arrested. But she had to be ready to have an extensive trip coming up. It's best not to begin to pack when it's time to get to the airport. You might just miss the flight. In fact, you'll probably miss the flight. Are you ready? This is our final talk, as I said, in this Little Letters Big Message series. And Peter points out that we need to be ready for the time when Christ will return. It's a theme that's covered time after time in the Bible. It is what Christians look forward to. If Christ doesn't get here first, we're going to go meet him when we pass on. Expressions like, if the Lord tarries, shows that Christians are waiting expectantly for Christ to return. Songs have addressed it for centuries. Songs like, one day, and it may be at morn, talk about when Jesus will come back. The slaves pined for Christ's return when they sang songs that look forward to a much better day than what they were experiencing. I think that John Newton, a slaver who became a preacher, got his ideas from the slaves in Amazing Grace when he says, when we've been there 10,000 years. And that's that promise off in the distance. But as time goes on, I think we tend, as already in the time of Peter, we tend to let our guard down. It seems like people aren't as ready. Peter says here that some even scoff and say, ha, you dumb Christians, you're still waiting around for Jesus to return? You're nuts. Why don't you just give it up? He's not coming back. Party. Peter is reminding us that we must not fall into that trap. He reminds us that God knows what he's doing, and he's being patient, and he's being kind, and he's being merciful. And our job is to be ready. So let me ask again, are you ready? Are others that you know ready? So let's look at this a bit. And the first thing to do is to remember the promise. We have it on good authority. Christ is coming back, and we need to constantly remind ourselves of it. Jesus didn't say exactly when, but he says in Acts 1 that the kingdom will be restored at a time that only the Father knows. The disciples were saying, Lord, when are you going to restore your kingdom? And Jesus says, that's not for you to know. But in a time appointed by the Father, it will happen. Not only that, Paul addresses it in 1 Corinthians 15, that powerful scripture, where he talks about where, O death, is your sting? Where is the hurt? Because as Christ followers, we get to look forward to a new heaven and a new earth. He addresses it in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5 because the people were obviously wondering what was going to be happening in the future. The people were dying in it, and it seemed like Jesus was supposed to come back, and these people were dying, and Paul assures them and says, about these people that have already died, they're going to be okay. They're going to get raised first, and the rest of us are going to be going in glory with them. And then the writer, and then James talks about it in James 5 and that promise, and the writer of Hebrews looks at it in Hebrews 10. There's promises, and that's just a few. And if you look at Revelation, you see the end times. There's no shortage of times that the apostles mention it. It's there time after time. And since Peter is equating their writings to Scripture, he is saying, if the Bible says it, that settles it. At the end, when he's at the end of the chapter there, when he's talking about Paul, talking about Paul's writings, he says it's Scripture. And if the Bible says it, that's enough. Jesus is coming back. It may have been 2,000 years since the promise was made, but Jesus is coming back. We'll see in a bit that of what some of the reasons are and why it's been a longer wait than expected. Nevertheless, we need regular reminders of it. So here's a reminder. Don't forget. Don't forget. Jesus is coming back. Be ready. And rest assured that you must ignore the scoffers, okay? Because they will come. Peter was dealing with it then. We deal with it now. They will come with great regularity. And as Peter was dealing with it at the end of the first century, it continues to be a source of mockery from people who want to make light of us. It seems what worries Peter the most is that people could actually deny and make light of what Christ said he would do. That's a scary thought. In fact, in Peter's mind, that constitutes heresy. The scoffers seem to think that just because it's been a long time, Christ won't be showing up at all. It could be, and most certainly it's at least part of the reason that truthfully, they don't really want it to be true. We're having too much fun. I have other things I want to get done. Or I just want to live my life the way I want to live it. And they don't want it to be true. And I know that's the case today. If you don't want it to be true, you just simply deny it. You make up a new truth. Okay, well, that might be your truth, but I have my truth. And that's a load of you know what, okay? It happens, and it happens in this and many other ways that people choose to turn their back on the truth of the Bible. And then Peter promises that God has destroyed the earth before by flood. And then he says here that he's going to do it again, this time by fire. This, and Peter reminds him, this is the same God who called very creation into being by just saying the word. He just said the word and it happened. And this same God is who scoffers are mocking, and it puts them into a terrifying position. It's not only better, but it's a no-brainer that we need to be ready. I'll get to that later. Fortunately for humanity, God knows what he's doing, as I said before, and what he's doing is mercy. What he's doing is being merciful. The problem with far too many people is that they think they know what God is thinking or not thinking. Too many people think that they can tell God a better way to do it. And that's the height of arrogance. They also think that God is limited by time, yet he's eternal. Peter tells us, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Lori read that from Psalm 90. And we are to number our days aright, to put it into King James language. So rather than taking this literally, what Peter is saying is that God is outside of time. God is outside of time, which means God's time is not our time because he's timeless. But since time is what we know, he's giving us more time. Because the longer God waits, the more mercy he is showing. The longer God waits, the more opportunity we have. God does not want anyone to perish. He wants his children to be ready. He wants all of them to be ready. Our job is to make sure as many as possible are ready when they meet him. Because they will meet him at some point. It's important that we and they are ready. This is becoming more and more of a possibility that everyone would hear the gospel. We have talked about that. We have talked about how the good news is getting spread around the world. And now with the internet, with the radio, with TV, with all kinds of ways of getting the word out, it's getting closer and closer to the time when all the 7.5 billion people in this world have heard the message, the good news. And it's our job as Christ followers to take as many of them with us. Because the truth is, Christ's return will be dreadful. Christians look at it with anticipation. But for people who are not ready, it will be dreadful. The description of the end of time on this earth, as Peter describes it, is terrifying. He said back in verse 7 that the earth would be destroyed by fire, and in verse 10 he describes a horrifying conflagration. I was reading in my daily reading yesterday from Revelation, and in Revelation 6, the Lamb opens the sixth seal, and it says there was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red. And the stars in the sky fell to earth as figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The heavens receded like a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and everyone else, both slave and free, in other words, no one gets out of this. Hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains, they called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can withstand it?" It's going to be horrible. It's true that with every horrific event down through the centuries, Christ followers have felt sure that the return of Christ was imminent, because all through the years, Christ followers have been expectantly waiting for the return of Christ. But with the dreadfulness of World War I and World War II, I was reading in my F.B. Meyer commentary, and he talked, who would have ever expected the horrible things that happened starting with the Great War of 1914, because he was writing in about 1920. And that war was horrific. It was awful with the gas and the huge weapons the huge cannons that could throw shells the size of Angela's van, that will soon be formerly Angela's van, into the battlefield, and it was horrific. And then World War II came along, and it ended with two nuclear devices that are small in comparison to the nuclear devices that are available now. It's no wonder that many thought the time had come, but it's still to come. But obviously Christ has not returned. You're all here. And the awful reality is that it will be worse than anything humanity has ever seen before for those who are not ready. I'm not trying to scare you, because we don't have to be scared. But Jesus' return will be dreadful for those who are not ready. So be ready. This is your reminder again. Make sure that you do all you can to ensure those you know are ready too. You just have responsibility for those that you come in contact with. And then ask yourself this: how will he find me? How will he find me? And you know already, he wants to find us holy and godly, as Peter says. Peter used repetition all through. You can see the repetition that Peter uses all through 1 and 2 Peter. And he uses that repetition to hammer the truth into thick-headed people. And we're no different. We need the truth hammered home to us too. There are so many temptations in this world, and we need to remain strong and be set apart for God. That's what holy means. Peter then says that God should find us expectantly waiting for him. Okay? Holy and ready and waiting. We should have our eyes to the sky with anticipation. Now, if we're working at bringing everyone with us, we're not going to just be with our eyes to the sky. We're going to be busy at the same time. And look how this eagerness helps even more to be found holy and godly. As Peter writes, he says, "Since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him." When you anticipate a loved one's arrival, you get ready. Six years ago, next month, I left on March 14th for a sabbatical, and I was away for 7 weeks, and for five and a half, Kathy was still here in the States. And I missed her. One time, Elam, my friend that I was staying with in Webuye, Kenya, he and I were riding along going somewhere, and it had been 5 weeks at that point. And I said something, probably for the 100th time, and he said, "You really miss Kathy, don't you?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And so on the last night, on the 15th of April, I flew from Nairobi to Heathrow in London. And Kathy was flying from Chicago to Heathrow. And I was going to get there 2 hours before her. And I had left my friend Richard's house in Eldoret at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to the airport. And I had bathed as I did out of a dish. And I was in my suit that Gerald had made for me. and I looked pretty spiffed up. But 24 hours later, when I landed at Heathrow, I wasn't very spiffy. And I found a washroom, and I shaved, and I bathed, and I brushed my teeth, and brushed my teeth, and brushed my teeth, and got ready. Because when you anticipate a loved one's arrival, you get ready. And then it was really good when she came through that gate. And that's what we should do. We should shave and bathe and brush our teeth and brush our teeth and brush our teeth and be ready for when Jesus comes back. Because he should find us faithful. Horatio Spafford lost all his children in a shipwreck. And in his devastation, he wrote that powerful hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." His final stanzas look forward to a reunion in heaven. He prayed for the Lord to haste the day. But Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. O trump of the angel, O voice of the Lord, blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul. Sing. And Lord, haste the day when the face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. That's joyful anticipation in the midst of tragedy. In the midst of tragedy. Jay talked about a chorus, God will make a way where there is no way. And how, Jay, you said refugees? Refugees that really there was no way sang it with incredible hope and anticipation. Because when there's no earthly way, God will make a way. In the midst of tragedy, in the midst of hopelessness, God will make a way. So most likely we won't witness the destruction as Christ followers. Peter tells us that we're going to be too busy for that. Eugene Peterson, in his paraphrase, says of verse 13, the galaxies will burn up and the elements melt down that day, but we'll hardly notice. We'll be looking the other way, ready for the promised new heavens and the promised new earth, all landscaped with righteousness. We'll be looking the other way. So pray and preach and repent and be ready. But be careful. Beware how scripture is used and abused. Peter brings that in here as he talks about Paul's writings, which, were, as I said, were already seen as scripture. Talks about how they had been twisted and misused. Paul had even been concerned with this in the way his teaching on grace had been used as an excuse for all kinds of license. And Peter shows that the same can happen with what he's saying. Last week I talked about watching a video of a preacher taking what the Bible says about homosexuality and twisting it into lies with great smoothness and great confidence. He was tickling itching ears. And we have witnessed this all through holy history. Many preachers have come preaching that Christ would return, and of course he didn't. Because Scripture says, in fact, Jesus himself said that no one but the Father would know. People who attempt to set the time of Christ's return are setting themselves up as false prophets. Our job is to take the scriptures as they are and present the good news to a lost generation. This is what we are to do. And Peter tells us in so many words to keep calm and be ready. The warnings are obvious. The person with a firm foundation in the Word of God is prepared. Remember the promise. Jesus is coming back for us. So keep your eyes to the sky and bring as many people with you as possible. In other words, keep growing as you are getting ready to be going. People get ready. People get ready. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. And remember that the prayer corner is staffed and ready for anyone who has a need of prayer for anything. But especially